Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mark tells us that Jesus' baptism was a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Why would the holy and sinless Lamb of God allow himself to be baptized? Even John was a bit unsettled by Jesus' request for holy baptism and tried to deter him by saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus responded, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus didn't get baptized to get something out of it. He didn't get baptized to get the forgiveness of sins and righteousness out of it. Rather, he was baptized to put something into it. He filled baptism with the power of the cross to wash away sins and grant eternal life. Some Eastern churches observe the Epiphany and the baptism of Jesus by throwing a cross into a local river, which of course symbolizes the Jordan, and then men dive in to retrieve it. The Greek Orthodox Church has a rite on the day of Epiphany called the Blessing of the Waters, in which a container, sometimes glass, is filled with water, placed in the front of church, and then stirred with a cross. The picture of a cross being plunged into water is rather stunning. The man who descended into the Jordan for baptism on this day was the Messiah whose entire purpose in coming into the world was to be the Christ of the cross. After Christ's baptism, water has never been the same. Oh yes, it's the same old water, but it's not the same. Christ put into all water, all the waters all over the world, the power to wash away sins when used with his word, with his name, and according to his command. St. Paul explains to us, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your trespasses, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." Jesus was not merely just another man among the crowd coming to the Jordan River. He was not merely a great man. Rather, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. To be baptized into Christ is to be baptized into God himself. And not just God, but the God-man who died and rose again. Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death, Paul says? For if we have become united with him in a likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Being baptized is one of the most important events in Jesus' life. In fact, it was not only a Jesus event, it was a Trinitarian event in which the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove and lighted on the Son. A second explicit revelation of the Holy Trinity comes at the end of St. Matthew with the risen Lord's mission command to make disciples of all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Gospel of Matthew begins with Christ's Trinitarian baptism and ends with our Trinitarian baptism. One suspects something important going on here. One suspects that holy baptism and the Holy Trinity are foundational to who God is and to his saving mission to the world. And Epiphany is a mission season. It's been almost 20 years since Barbara Lundblad, an ordained Lutheran pastor, made the scandalous claim that it is not necessary to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. She suggested a ninefold formula. You are baptized in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother, Lover, and Friend, wisdom, word, and breath of life. Richard John Neuhaus responded that such a God is either a hermaphrodite deity or a bundle of gods and goddesses. Well, one thing is certain about this and many of the subsequent inclusive baptismal formulas that have been bandied about and experimented with: they are not the God, they are not the suffering servant of Isaiah 42, they are not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that was manifested on this day at the Jordan. It is not the same baptism that was established by the God-man Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 before he ascended with his male body into heaven. It is a different God, a different baptism, a different gospel, and thus a different mission. You cannot get missions and evangelism right if you do not have Jesus right, if you do not have God right. There was no mother God present at the baptism. There was no Christa walking into the water. The Jesus who entered the Jordan River was the Jesus who, as a little boy, shed his blood when he was circumcised. And it is the crucified and risen flesh and blood of this same Jesus which bestows the forgiveness of sins to us here today. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Wherever Jesus is present in the flesh, the Father and the Spirit are also present, and heaven is opened. However, coming into the presence of God is uncomfortable, if not horrifying, for sinners. Jesus stands there with a winnowing fork in his hand, casting chaff into unquenchable fire. Nevertheless, it is a comforting thing for repentant sinners to be gathered by Christ like good wheat, which is gathered into the barn. You who are troubled by your sins, you are the wheat of which John the Baptist speaks. You who have come here today and confessed your sins, you who walked in here today as you always do past the baptismal font and say to yourself with a little smile, "I've been in that water. I was in that water before. I was in there with Jesus." He who stands here today with his winnowing fork among sinners also stood among sinners in the Jordan River. He hung between two sinners when he endured the wrath of God in our stead, shedding his blood on the cross to atone for our sins. And he continues to offer us his flesh and blood. And where his flesh and blood is present, heaven is opened, and you hear the voice of the Father say to you, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.